This podcast is for adults only. It contains themes of a sexual nature that aren't suited for younger listeners. If you're below the age of consent in your area, your parents should have stopped you from downloading this podcast. It's not erotica. It's Art Erotica. ArtErotica.com. Hi, and welcome to the seventh episode of my podcast. I've got a lot to talk to you about today, so let's just get to it. First off, I want to remind you of my other podcast, Arter's Erotic Reflections. You can find that show on my podcast page on ArtErotica.com. That's ArtErotica.com. And you can also find the feed for that show on iTunes. Apple doesn't allow podcasts with adult themes and explicit language, so that podcast is a bit more introspective. I talk about my crazy ideas about sex and gender roles. I also talk a little bit about what goes into the writing of my stories. On this podcast, however, I can say whatever I like. I can use whatever fucking language I feel like, because no one's looking over my shoulder. So, what do I have for you this episode? I'm going to talk about my trip to Beyond Leather, a BDSM convention I went to recently, read you one of my dirty little stories, and lastly, review a naughty Netflix. Sound fun? Well, I hope so, because here we go. Oh, wait a minute. Before I get started, I want to mention one thing. If you haven't listened to episode 5 of Arter's Erotic Reflections, I talked about a lot of things. Keeping it brief, so as not to repeat the entire episode, I talked about how, in a lot of ways, women aren't allowed to enjoy sex. Check out the episode for the entire conversation, but I can't help bringing it up again because something happened just the other day that proved my argument completely. I just recently met a woman who I think is pretty cool. We talked for hours getting to know each other and found we have a lot in common. Amongst one of many things we have in common is that we both have a healthy interest in all things naughty and kinky. While talking about this, she mentioned that she loves to give blowjobs and play with dicks. I could see the fear and hesitation in her voice when she was about to tell me this. She was actually afraid that I would think badly of her because of it. It was literally living proof of exactly what I was talking about. We all want handjobs and blowjobs, right guys? But if a woman is too into giving them, if she likes it too much, then she's a slut and not a nice girl. That is a ridiculously stupid way to think. It's such a shame the way we frighten the sex drive right out of some women. And before anyone says anything, this wasn't some cheap woman I found in some grungy bar willing to do whatever to whomever. And it certainly wasn't because I'm some famous author. 'Cause I'm not. This was just a nice, sweet, intelligent woman that has a normal, healthy interest in the opposite sex. That's a good thing. Hell, that is an awesome thing. Guys, don't be stupid. When you penalize a woman for enjoying sex, you hurt her, you hurt yourself, and no one comes out a winner. Okay, I went into all of that enough on the other podcast, so let's move on to Beyond Leather. The link for the website is in the show notes for this podcast, which you'll find on my website on the podcast page. There, you can find information about next year's convention and see what this year's and past year's conventions were like. Last year, I went for the whole 4 days, but this year, I only bought a Saturday ticket. A friend I know is new to the scene, and I went to hang out with her. It was a good time, even though the first event we went to was more than a little disturbing. The first lecture we went to see was on rape play. Now, I want to make this absolutely crystal clear. This is not a fetish of mine and something I personally could never take part in. It's way too violent for me, and the entire lecture made me anxious and uncomfortable. The only reason I even attended this particular discussion was because I thought the friend I went to hang out with, a female dom who was new to the scene, was interested in it. It turned out to be something a third person we were there with wanted to see. If I had known that, I would have suggested we left about 5 minutes into the discussion. I try hard not to judge people because of their kinks. Some edgy fetishes I have a harder time with than others. This is the type of fetish that's dangerous physically, mentally, and legally for everyone involved. Personally, I think some fantasies are better off staying as fantasies. I have plenty of things that I think are exciting to think about, but I would never do in real life. I think that's just part of being human. I'm not saying that having rape fantasies make you a bad person. Thought isn't a crime and should never be made illegal, but it might be worth your while to talk to a professional and find out why you have those fantasies and what they might mean. Talking about these things can be invaluable, and you might be surprised at what you learn about yourself. Honestly, I find the whole topic a little too disturbing to talk about much more. I could go into detail about the actual lecture, but I think no matter how hard I tried, it would come out sounding negative, and I don't like to do that. So let's just move on and talk about the next event we went to, which was a lot more fun. Lube wrestling. Basically, a bunch of people get naked, covered from head to toe in lube, and try to pin each other to a mat. This wasn't so much a sporting event as an excuse to get a bunch of kinky people naked in public and covered with lube. It was a mixed group of people, and none of them had any modesty to speak of. Good, sloppy fun for all involved. I have to admit, I was tempted to join in. The thing was that it didn't seem like you had a choice of whom your opponent might be. I'm not saying that I was expecting to wrestle a supermodel or anything, because I certainly wasn't, but my opponent could have been male. I'm open-minded and, you know, cool with whatever, but that really wouldn't have interested me. It was a fun event to watch, though. After that, we watched a performance by a fire dancer out by the hotel pool. She was naked and spinning poi. It was pretty cool. Fire, naked women, two of my favorite things. I put a few links to fire dancers in the show notes. Neither of them are the woman who performed at Beyond Leather, but it'll give you an idea what the show was like. Finally, we wrapped up the night by checking out the dungeons, which opened up around 9 p.m. The dungeons filled up pretty quickly, and you could see just about every type of public BDSM play. There was a needle scene, your standard spanking and flogging scenes, all sorts of fun stuff. Beyond Leather is also an event that welcomes all sexual orientations. So, there were gay and lesbian couples playing openly, so you should be okay with that if you're thinking of going. I enjoy my time at Beyond Leather. It's held in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and they take over the entire hotel for the event. So, you don't have to worry about vanilla people or kids seeing things they shouldn't. If you're not local, though, you should get your tickets early. The price goes up as it gets closer to the event, and the hotel rooms go quickly, so there's another reason to get in on it early. Now, I think it's naughty story time here on Art Erotica. Today, I think I'll read you a part of the bonus chapter from my latest book, Dominant Futanari Dick Girls. If you've never heard of a futanari, the term dick girl should be pretty self-explanatory. Don't think of them as transsexuals or she-males, though. A futanari is an actual woman. She's female in every way, shape, and form, except one. She has a cock. Other than that, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Well, that and futanari tend to be really horny all the time. In my book, I have stories about different kinds of futanari. The last story in the book is a sci-fi adventure. It centers around a spaceship captain. He agrees to deliver a shipment to a remote sector of space. There, he encounters a race of tall, hermaphroditic women. Of course, that leaves out the strap-on threesomes and the female domination scenes that led up to that, but you'll just have to read the full story to get that. This is just a little teaser to whet your appetite. In Space, Everyone Can Hear You Come, by Arter. The space station itself looked like a giant cylinder with a thick disk in the middle. Off of the disk were the docking ports for the visiting spaceships. They looked something like the spokes that came off the hub of a wheel. Up to 8 ships could dock to each spoke, and there were dozens of spokes attached to the hub. Once I had docked, the spokes acted like a long hallway that led to the main hub of the station. each step down the hallway seemed a little more surreal than the one before it. I was actually in public, on an alien space station, stark naked. Not a position a guy finds himself in often, even if he is the captain of a spaceship that goes to strange and mysterious lands. I passed a few other people who were going to or from their dock ships. They were all either naked or so near to it that it really didn't matter. That was nothing, however, compared to what I saw when I entered the main hub. It was a cross-section between some kind of promenade and a mall or a market of some type. There were shops of all kinds and hundreds of people everywhere. Most of these people were Kalu, the female hermaphrodites that populate this sector. There were other species on the station as well. I saw some kind of unusual-looking tentacle creature that, despite its nudity, I couldn't figure out what its gender was. There were a few species that looked like they were based on animals from Earth. There was a being that looked vaguely cat-like, and another that, frighteningly enough, reminded me of an elephant. I won't go into the insectoid creature because, frankly, I found them a little disturbing. Thankfully, as I said, the station was populated almost entirely by the Kalu. Just about everywhere I looked, I saw tall beings that looked entirely female, except for the fact that they had huge cocks hanging from between their legs. Hair color varied. Some were a little taller or a little shorter, some were a little heavier, and some were thinner. Breast size and shape varied, just like they did on Earth women. But in all ways that counted, they looked like tall Earth women with giant cocks. It seemed that the dress varied more than the website showed. There were some Kalu women with large breasts that didn't bother with the support cups. All they wore was a tiny string bikini bottom that barely covered their pussy and asshole. It left their huge cocks completely visible. I had to force myself not to look at them. Not only didn't I want to be rude, but I could feel my own cock stir as I looked over their nearly naked bodies. If there was one around, I quickly looked at the insectoid creatures. They were more than enough to deter any feelings of arousal at all. If I couldn't find an insectoid, all I had to do was think of them, and any chance of an erection just withered away. There also seemed to be different styles of the bikini bottoms. Some of the bottoms covered more than others. Some covered their cocks completely, and others just covered the shaft and not the head of their cock. Despite the different styles, there was so much flesh on display that anyone who came to this station fully clothed would have stood out like a sore thumb. Naked, I actually blended in with the crowd. I'd have to apologize to Niva at some point for doubting her. Maybe she sincerely did want to patch things up between Gemma, herself, and I. I suddenly felt more hopeful and happy. As I walked among the crowd and looked at the vendors, I gradually got more and more comfortable with the nudity. I looked at the different merchandise that was for sale, more out of curiosity than actual interest in buying anything. When I came along a shop that sold the Kalu bikini bottoms, I picked up a few, but it was obvious they weren't made for Earthmen. I was about to walk away when a female voice said, "You won't find a higher quality or better priced clothing anywhere on the station, my friend. Tell me what you're looking for. Let's make a deal." I smiled at her, ready for her high-pressured sales pitch, and said, "Thanks, but I'm just looking. You wouldn't have anything that would fit me anyways." "I pride myself on my ability to satisfy all my customers. Let me have a better look at you," she said as she invited me into her booth with a gesture. With a chuckle, I walked into her booth and stood in front of her. While she looked me up and down, I got a better look at her. She was about 7 foot tall and had medium-sized tits with long legs. Her figure was a little soft. She wasn't overweight by any means, but she had a little padding that smoothed out her curves nicely. Her cock, though. It had to be almost 18 inches long. It hung and swayed between her legs like an elephant's trunk. She was wearing one of the more elaborate bikini bottoms. It was bright blue and hugged her body tightly, almost as if it was painted on. The sheath covered the shaft of her cock, but left the tip exposed. I had never seen a real cock that large. Part of me wanted to drop to my knees right there and beg her to let me suck on it. "You're not the Kalu," she said, breaking my train of thought. "What species are you?" "I'm a human male from Earth," I replied. "Human, huh?" she said as she studied me. She looked at me for a second, grabbed me by the arm, turned me around, and bent me over. Then she spread my ass cheeks with both of her hands. For a second, I thought she was going to try to fuck me right then and there. But instead, she said, "I recognize that little hole. But no pussy? And what's this sack?" "Those are my balls," I said, looking over my shoulder at her. When she didn't seem to understand me, I said, "My testicles, where the sperm comes from?" "Ah," she said, as if she finally understood. "We Kalu do that internally." Then she let go of my cheeks, gave me a playful swat on the ass, and said, "You should cover up that little hole. It's not sanitary. Here, I have the perfect thing." She turned around and started to dig through her stock, while I stood there, still half bent over. Eventually, I stood up and turned around to watch her as she looked through her inventory. Her feet were about shoulder-width apart. Her bikini bottom was just strings in the back. The muscles of her ass rippled and flexed as she moved around to look through her stock. Her legs looked so strong and powerful that I couldn't help but wonder what they'd look like wrapped around my head. There was a tiny strip of cloth that covered her asshole. I could just see where her skin started to change color and begin to wrinkle. Behind that, I could see the outline of her pussy as the cloth pressed tightly against it. Her giant cock swayed back and forth between her legs with every movement she made. God, it took every ounce of my willpower not to drop to my knees, wrap my hand around her cock, and stuff my face into her ass. I was lost in a fantasy of me doing just that, when she suddenly turned around and said, "Here we go, just what I was looking for." Dangling from her right hand was a little yellow scrap of fabric with strings attached to it. She tossed it to me and said, "Here, you try this on." I was about to try it on when I suddenly stopped and said, "Wait a minute, how much?" She laughed at me and said, "Don't worry, baby, I'm not trying to rip you off. I'll make you a good deal." "How much?" I insisted. A slow smile crept across her face. She looked around and then pulled me to her. "I'll make you a very good deal," she said with a naughty little smile. "What did you have in mind?" "How about this? You drop to your knees, right here, and suck my cock, and I'll give it to you for free." "What?" I asked. "Oh, don't play coy with me, pretty. You couldn't take your eyes off my cock, and thanks to that mirror," she said, pointing to a mirror over the boxes of her inventory, "I saw you drooling over my asshole. I can spot a slut a mile away. We both know you're dying to suck me off." The way she looked me in the eye, the feel of her skin next to mine, the fact that I was standing naked between her legs, the way she spoke to me. Never mind the fact that she was absolutely right about how badly I wanted to suck her cock. It all got to me, and my cock. I got an instant hard-on. She smiled when she felt it and said, "I'll take that as a yes." She started to push me down to my knees. Before I knew it, I was down on the floor, eye to eye with that monster cock of hers. She started to roll back the cock sheath, which revealed more and more of her shaft. "Wait a minute. Have you had your shots?" I asked. She flipped over her right wrist and showed me her proof of immunization. It was a large blue dot with a holographic shimmer over it for fraud protection. Placed just above her palm, it signified that not only didn't she have a sexually transmitted disease, but that she was also clear of any type of disease whatsoever. If she had anything worse than the common cold, the dot would have changed color to indicate what was wrong. You had to be a trained medical professional to read the colors correctly, but everyone knew that blue meant clear. I showed her the inside of my wrist and turned it slightly so the hologram would shimmer under the light. "Good little slut, it's nice to see that you keep that dirty little mouth of yours clean. Now, put it to good use." She rolled up her cock sheath until she exposed more shaft than I could fit in my mouth. Then she pointed the head at my face and smiled. I looked at it. I looked at the head of this strange cock that was pointed right at my mouth and wanted to taste it so bad. I looked up at her, this woman whose name I didn't even know, to see what she might be thinking. She smiled at me and said, "Go on, honey. It's okay. You can do it. Just open your mouth and wrap your lips around it." I looked back down at the cock in front of me and decided she was right. There was no reason I couldn't suck on it. She was clean, it was hard, and right in my face. So I opened my mouth, leaned forward, and rubbed my lips over the head of her cock. Then I opened my mouth, put my tongue over my bottom teeth, my lips over my top teeth, and let it slide right in my mouth. "Oh," she moaned as she looked down at me, "I just knew you'd be a good cocksucker. I could see it in your eyes. I moved her cock in and out of my mouth as I squeezed the shaft with my hand. Then I figured I'd show her what I could really do. I opened the back of my throat and took in as much of her cock as I could. With her giant dick, there was no way I could take the whole thing. From what she did next, I figured I had more than enough of it down my throat, though. Oh, what are you? Goddess, that feels so good. Then she grabbed my head with both hands and started to fuck my face. Oh, you slutty, cocksucking little bitch. I'm gonna... Oh! That is just a tiny taste of the story. The whole book is over 38,000 words long. What I just read you is part of a bonus chapter that is an additional 10,000 words long. I've already gotten 3 positive reviews for this story. Once I get 10 positive reviews of 4 stars or higher, I'll release the entire bonus chapter. So, as always, if you like the book, don't forget to leave your positive review. Every single one counts, and you never know. Yours could be the one that unlocks the bonus chapter. I'm going to try an experimental segment now. I have a Netflix account, and of course, I'm always looking for naughty movies to watch. I found a few on Netflix, so I'm going to try doing some reviews. This time, I'm going to talk about a movie called Schoolgirl Hitchhikers. This movie was made in 1973, and looks it. It's a French film, and is dubbed, so at least there aren't any subtitles to deal with. I have a link to the IMDb profile in the show notes. User ratings give it a 4.4 out of 10. That sounds pretty bad, but I'd rate the first 15 minutes at about a 7. The two girls who play the lead are pretty, and there's a nice lesbian scene between them. It's a softcore movie, so you don't get to see anything very graphic. Although, there is a close-up of one girl licking and sucking on the nipple of the other girl. That was unexpected. The dialogue is pretty weird and corny. I guess it wasn't very well written in the original French, so they probably didn't try very hard with the translation. In the lead up to the lesbian scene, the narrator, who's one of the girls, says, "Our endearment became tenderer and tenderer, leading us to behave as the indecent girls we are." That's just a really weird line to me, and I'm guessing it's a result of a bad translation. The first sex scene is most of the first 15 minutes of the movie. It's just two pretty girls rolling around naked with some flute music in the background, which is about as good as the movie gets. It kind of goes straight downhill from there. There's a weird softcore torture scene by the female leader of a gang of jewel thieves that kind of left me flat. More weird dialogue and strange excuses for sex scenes. If I'm making the rest of this movie sound unwatchable, well, that's because it kinda is. The long and short of it is, watch 15 minutes of cute 70s lesbians, then move on. Netflix has other things that are better to offer, and hopefully next time, I'll find one of them to review for you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll come back next time for more. To find out what I've been up to, check out my other podcast, Arter's Erotic Reflections, my homepage on arterotica.com, or my Twitter feed, at arterotica. The music for this podcast was provided by Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio.com.